Just look in this morning's prayer paper for a few minutes. Two scriptures today, one's in Ephesians and one's in Luke. Second chapter of Luke and the first chapter of Ephesians. Okay, turn this thing on. Okay, good. If I look into the world today, it is very easy to understand how in the world today, it's understandable how we have a gun shooting in Fort Walton Beach every month. It's not hard to understand why it's not gun shows. It's because they're afraid. It's not hard to understand why everybody's afraid. They're afraid because they're depending on you. And that's not too difficult. If you don't have God, who else can you depend on?
Yes.
But the point of where we are in the world today and how we are in this society, for me, and I look at it from another way of seeing it because of what the Lord has done in my life, I don't know why anybody in the world would want to not leave this earth.
I know that's right, yes.
I just don't see the reason for the great love of it in the shape that it's in. And I don't see how anyone in the world would not want to have something better. It is. I just, you know, you really, 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 and I have to be, you have to not know about God at all not to want something greater than the earth.
Yes, amen.
Not want to have a greater life than earth. And to really just be sold on.
Yes.
Loving it. Even the people who have a bazillion dollars, they become bored at it and want to go to another planet and,
yeah,
and do all these things. Because the earth is just not the end of anything. So we have all this going on in the earth and things are happening and people are everywhere. And in my lifetime, and I grew up in a time where, you know, Ku Klux Klan used to hold their rallies on the streets in Fayetteville in the daytime on Saturday downtown.
Yes.
You'd think they were having a bake sale. They'd be out in front of Woolworths and all those places, have their tables set out. They would be recruiting and in their full regalia and all this kind of stuff and all these things. And it was during the time that Lester Maddox was setting dogs on black people, you know, and George Wallace was proclaiming segregation forever.
Yes.
All these things were going on when I grew up, and you would think to yourself, it couldn't get any worse than that. But right now, it's more dangerous than ever.
Yes, it is.
I've never had a time in my lifetime where I was concerned about traveling, you know, at night, and, or what town I stopped in, or what gas station I stopped at. Until now, this is where it's come to. But these are things, as it says in the Word of God, that must be.
Yes.
They are not new to, you know, if you studied the Word of God in any sense, and if you've concerned yourself and you've really learned any lessons from God. Let me swing this camera around a little bit.
Yeah.
And you've learned any lessons from God, and you have any biblical sense, then you know these are things that are unavoidable because of the fall in the garden.
Yes.
Because of Satan and sin. We sound like a broke record on that. That you can't escape.
No.
But I want to look in Ephesians, the first chapter, or what is it, the second chapter? Second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter. And look at a few words in Luke and encourage everybody today. I am a man of faith. Not just the faith in God, but the faith of God. I believe in God. I believe in God. Everybody here say, I believe in God.
I believe in God.
I believe in God.
I believe in God, yes.
I'm sure that God is. There's no doubt in my mind. I have, you know, as the song says in one place, you eat flat? Song says one place, I tried him. He never failed. I tried him. He never failed. And for some of us, we've lived long enough to now to say we have tried God.
Yes.
Another song says, I trust in God enough to try him. Yes. I've tried God enough to trust him.
Yes.
You know, there's no doubt in our mind that God lives. And for us, and for all of us, if you, you know, for everybody who's lived longer than 2 seconds and you've escaped death or some harrowing misadventure, and the only way that you knew you escaped, it was not luck. It was by the grace of God. Then you need to be able to say to someone else, Jesus is real. And you need to be able to say to someone else, God lives.
Yes, amen.
And he brought me out. If you've ever been in a situation where you haven't figured out yet how you managed not to die in it. I was in this plane the other night. We were trying to land in Fort Walton Beach and got down over the lights over. This sticks in my mind. Got down over the lights over Niceville because I think about things like this and I keep doing it. And I've flown into Fort Walton Beach a gazillion times. And I know when you're seeing the building tops and the lights in Niceville, I know where I am.
Yes.
And I know that you're really just off the runway because the runway actually coming into Eglin is on a hill. So when you're flying low enough in Niceville, you're almost level with the runway. And I also know what's on the other end of the runway. On the other end of the runway are the tall buildings and the hotels.
Yes.
So when we get down to the flying over Niceville, and all of a sudden he cranks the engines, and they're I've never heard any engines roar louder. I know what he's trying to do in this storm. He's trying to pull up over this runway and make sure he clears all these buildings on the beach.
Yeah.
I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And you can't see anything, and it's raining, and the engines are roaring. And normally, when you leave the runway, they roar for a while, and then he backs off. But I mean, he is pouring everything he's got into them trying to get off this ground. And I know what's at the end. And someone else will say, this is a great pilot. Yes, it's a great pilot by the grace of God.
Yes.
By the grace of God. You could be on one hand, and then we flew back to Atlanta, and he had enough gas to make it back to Atlanta. On one hand, it's a success story because of God. On the other hand, it could be a tragedy.
Yes.
That people are reading about. But because of God.
Yes.
And because of what God does. So we have a great need for him. And in Ephesians, it's good not to have God as an enemy.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And it's good not to be an enemy of God. I don't care how, yes. You know, I don't care, you know, I shouldn't say the word I don't care. It doesn't matter to some degree, even if your life isn't perfect, it is good to at least say that at least God is not my enemy. I might not be living, you know, you might say to yourself, I might not be living the best life I can live, but you ought not be in such a state that you even feel yourself resistant to at least call on God when you need it.
Yeah, yes.
You must know that God is not like us. He's not like me. God is not based on reciprocity. You know, if you won't call me forever, and then when you have a need, you call me for the first time in 10 years and say, Bishop Smith, I need $10. And I'll say, well, you know, you ain't talked to me in 10 years. That ain't God.
No.
God says, you haven't talked to me in 15 years, but you need me now. Okay, I'm listening.
Yes.
What is it that you need?
Yes.
And he doesn't spend time going round and round about, why should I listen to you now? You haven't needed me on. He knows you have needed him all along. You just wouldn't call.
Yeah, yeah.
It isn't an issue with God of saying, well, you know how we do it. Well, you found a way all these other ways. No, God knows you would have found no way if he hadn't sustained you.
That's right.
You just didn't glorify him.
Yes.
And you didn't thank him. But God was doing it all the while.
Yes, yes.
And God was keeping you, and God has kept you, and we breathe, and we live, and we do what we do. It's always God, because God is a way maker, and he always makes a way for us, because we belong to him.
Yes.
So then, in this time of year, when we look at Ephesians, the second chapter, and it talks about Jesus, it says, and he is our peace, Ephesians 2 and 14. Just want this one verse, and then I'm going to Luke. And he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, talking about the Jews and the Gentiles in this particular case. But the point that he makes is that Christ is our peace. He is the reason why we have peace with God. He's the reason why we can come to God, because in the separation that we were born in when we didn't belong to God, because of Christ, we can come to him and the Lord will hear us. And we need to, because we always need God. How can I ever explain to you? I was listening to Elder Russell Friday night, and he preached so well. He preached there are miracles and there are blessings. And blessings we get every day, and from time to time we need miracles. And a blessing, as he said the other night, is when I need something, the Lord comes along and sustains me. A miracle is something that I get that only God can do. I know about blessings and miracles.
Yes.
I understand that. I know the need for God. And when he says in this, he is our peace, he's not referring to peace of mind or the quiet time that you get sometime or the restful relaxation that you have. And, you know, the things. And if you really must know, you really want to get your mind off of everything. And if that's all you want in God is just for your mind to be relaxed, you can drink a bottle of wine and do that.
Yeah.
That's not what he's referring to.
Yeah.
He's not referring to when you're sedated and all of a sudden, you know, you're not troubled because you can take enough Valium or whatever and stop being troubled. He's not referring to that. He's referring to the peace that you have between two people when you're not enemies, when you have a rapport, when you're able to come to one another and aid one another and help one another. He's referring to the peace that you have that lets you not be afraid to say to him, I need. He's referring to the peace that comes because you're not his enemy and you're on his side. He's your advocate. He's there for you and you're there for him and you're glorifying him. It's that peace. We want to, you know, we're always talking about, he's referring to the peace that comes that causes him that when you ask him to heal you, the Holy Spirit does it. It's because you have peace with God.
Yes, amen.
It's a move of the Spirit that you can count on, that you have that blessed hope in him. Hope being that sincere desire for God to do things and that earnest expectation that he will do it, because we are not enemies. I'm at peace with God.
Yes.
And that peace meaning not that we're just on, you know, we're all but we're not enemies. And we have a relationship. We're on speaking terms. And we're not someone who can't relate to one another. We're at peace. We are friends. We have a fellowship. That's what we have through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He is our peace. Now go to Luke and let me finish. So when he says this in Luke chapter 2, talking about the Christmas story, it's not just, about verse number 8. I don't know how to explain this, and I'm praying the Holy Spirit will help me. We seem to always see Jesus either in a manger or on the cross.
Yeah.
He's either in a manger or he's on the cross. And he's both of those, but there's so much more to him for that.
Right.
And there's so much more you get out of him being born. When you see him, there's a bigger portion of him being born than what we talk about. And we talk about the shepherds, and we talk about the three wise men that came, the three kings that came, although they didn't come for about another 18 months. But we talk about all of them that showed up and about Mary and Joseph's flight. But down about verse number 8, And it says in Luke 2 and 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round and about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And this is what's going on. They're out there, and we've seen a million times. I like the way they do it on Superbook because they have a good illustration. And the angels come to the shepherds, and they say to them, for unto you is born this day a Savior. You need to know that they're saying this to a people who've been waiting on him for thousands of years. In our minds, we don't even think of thousands of years, but you've got to remember that from the time that Isaiah writes that the virgin's going to bear a son to the time he comes, is 800 years.
Yes.
Over 800 years. And in that time, since the time of Abraham until he comes, you're talking 2,000 years. You're talking of a amount of time that we never even think about. And you have God's son coming in. And all this time you have people believing that God's son will come. But many of them have stopped believing.
Yeah.
And they've gone their way. I was thinking about this morning, Elder Smith. The Elder Smith and the Elder Reed, all those mother Evangelist Watson, probably Sister Sturgis and all those chums and all those who think deeply. I hear people always talking about every time, you know, we cheapen everything and make it so small. I hear people always talking about blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. You talk about so-and-so, you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Nothing could be more understood that I know of. Misunderstood that I know. Every person who does not believe in the power of God until the time they believe in God's power, they're blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Because you cannot be saved until you believe in the power of God.
That's
right. So if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you can't be saved. That's exactly why. If you say that the Holy Ghost does not have power, then you cannot. And in all these years that God is sustaining them and keeping them, and this is why Jesus says to the people of that time, he warns them about this. He's saying to them, you don't believe in the Holy Ghost's power, you can't be saved.
Right.
You don't believe what you're saying, you can't be saved.
That's right.
You don't believe that the Spirit moves, you can't be saved.
Yes.
Because it is the Holy Ghost that baptizes us into Christ and gives us and saves us, and Jesus did the work, and the Holy Ghost does the saving. You can't be saved.
Yes.
And all this time, between the time of Isaiah and until then, you have all these people, Evangelist Watson, who will not believe in God and believe in God's Son. And he's preaching, he's saying he's going to show up and he's going to be a light to the Gentiles. And it's what we're preaching now. It's a great light. It's the light that saves. It's the light that delivers. It's the light that changes your life. It's the power that you need. It's the help that you need.
Yes.
Yet, when he came to his own, they wouldn't receive him, and people won't receive him today.
Yeah.
So when he comes to the shepherds in the field and he says to them, he says, unto you is born this day a Savior. Or you're talking to young people, probably none of them, I doubt a single one of them is over 50 years old. Maybe some of them, the oldest one might be in their 60s, but they're young people. And you're talking about someone whose coming has been foretold for thousands of years.
Yes.
So how would you believe this? Well, the whole sky opens up.
Yeah.
And angels, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, not two or three, not four or five, but thousands of them.
Yes, yes.
So that no one can deny that this is a great occurrence, because all heaven has been waiting, not just us, but all the citizens of heaven have been waiting for this deliverance and for this turn of events, so that God will redeem sinful man, so that God will continue on his plan that he had for man from the very beginning.
Yes.
And they make this statement. He says that I'm bringing you great news, the greatest news that's ever been brought, that Jesus is born. And he says, because there's peace on earth. In other words, peace has been established between God and man. You don't want to not have peace with God.
Yeah, amen.
Not let it be so that in your arrogance, in your way, in your mind, that you don't have peace with God.
Yeah.
No matter what happens in the course of a day, he says, because of what's happening, Jesus is coming. He's the one who, and if you go into the long story, yes, he's the one who's going to come. He's going to be beaten and smitten, and he's going to bleed and die for our sins, and he's going to be resurrected. He's going to restore us back to God.
Oh, yeah.
so that we'll have peace with God. You don't want to have the mindset that you go to bed tonight without peace with God.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that before you go to sleep tonight, you ask God to wash and cleanse you so you have peace with God.
Yeah.
You want to say to God, Lord, you know, I might not be the greatest saved person in the world. I might not live the holiest, but I do thank you for keeping me alive.
Yeah.
You want to say to God, I do thank you for bringing me out. I do thank you I'm not suffering, and I thank you I'm not hungry, and I thank you I'm healed, and I thank you I'm well, and my children live, and I'm okay, and I recognize that you are the person who upholds the universe, and I thank you, and I want to have peace with you. I want you to understand that I do recognize you for who you are.
Amen, yes.
There's a reason for having Christ.
Yes, there's a reason.
Yes, there is. And it's undeniable that anybody whose heart beats, you must have peace with God. Say to yourself, no matter what happens in my life. And then we turn around and we hit the other side of the coin. We have people who want a miracle, but you don't take time to have peace with God. You have people who have you want to bring all your needs, and you love to run from place to place looking for, you know, what you want is a God handout. Yeah. Put the God hand up. It's when you won't come to God, you won't yield to God, and won't have peace with God, but you want God to bless you.
Right.
And you show up at all the blessing circles. You know, and everybody likes to sit around and preach about what God will do and God delivers. I turn on TV and it's full of it. You can have a miracle today. You are a miracle. And there are miracles to be had, but that you live is a miracle. That God sustains you is one. And the greatest miracle that anyone will ever have is salvation. I hear people talk about the power of the Holy Ghost, and I love it. The Holy Ghost has great power. But there is no greater power that you need in your life today is when he baptizes you in Christ and makes you one and sets you free from sin and gets you on the right road. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. We're saved by the power of God.
Yes, amen.
And I see people who want gifts, but you don't want peace.
Yes.
You don't have the mind of Christ to be restored, but you're sitting up in every seminar you can get your hands on talking about you want to have a gift.
Yeah.
And you want to go higher in the spirit. And you want to have the blessings. And you want to have miracles. And you want to be able to discern. And you want to do all these things, but you don't want to have peace with God.
Amen. Yes.
Can't turn around and say, Lord, I want to have the same mind you got. I don't want anybody living. Don't you know? Haven't we gotten it yet? Christ didn't come so that some of us would be forgiven. He came so that all of us would
be. Yes, yes.
That your sins are not forgiven is your fault.
Yeah.
It's not that God hasn't made a way for it to be done.
Yeah.
He didn't choose just who he had. God didn't just choose who he had fellowship with. The Jews thought that. They said, well, he's just going to have fellowship with us. He said, no, I came to break down the middle wall of partition so God would have fellowship with everybody.
Yes, yes.
And here we are, saved and deep, but we choose who we will have fellowship with and who we will not.
Yeah.
And write the rest off. Listen, if you don't have fellowship with somebody, let it be their fault, not yours.
Yes, yes.
Because that you're not in God is not God's fault, it's yours.
Yes.
That your name is not written on high is not God's fault, it's yours.
Yes.
That if you die, you don't go to heaven, that's not God's fault, it is yours. That you're not redeemed is not God's fault, it is yours. That the Holy Ghost doesn't dwell in you, that's not God's fault, it's yours.
Yes.
Because he's given to every man.
Yes.
When he says Jesus, he says the ransom has been paid, the sacrifice has been sent, and my peace has been established so that we can all be one.
Yes.
And on earth, peace, goodwill toward all.
Amen. Yes.
Everybody who will listen.
Yes.
Everybody who will have it. He's making the roster.
Yes, yes.
And he's deciding now who will have eternal life. And if you don't have eternal life, it's not God's fault, it's yours.
Yours, yes, right.
And if you're not sure that if Jesus comes back in the next 3 minutes, you'll go back with him, it's not God's fault, it's yours.
Yes.
If you haven't decided yet that you need to ask the Lord to wash you and cleanse you, it is not God's fault, it is yours. If you're not someone who can't call on Jesus and expect him to come. When I call on him, I expect him to show up.
Yes, yes.
When I call on God, I expect him to come.
Yes.
I'm not just calling on somebody I don't know. When I say, Lord, I need help, I expect him to come in.
Yes.
When I, you know, when I'm going through a difficult time like I was going through Friday night, I don't know what everybody else was doing. I don't care what they were drinking or whatever, but I know who I was depending on.
Yeah,
and I know who I was counting on. And I know when I finally got my feet on the ground, I know who I said thank you, Jesus, to.
Yes.
I didn't care what everybody else did. They can congratulate the pilot. They can do what they want. But I thank God.
Oh, yes. Amen.
It's good to have someone you can depend on no matter what.
Yes.
And when Jesus came, those angels told those shepherds, you had a hard time. Starting all the way back from the time they left the garden.
Yes.
He says, you've had a hard time.
Yes.
It's been difficult. People turned every way. Then after Noah and after the flood, they came back and they separated again. They tore up things again. Then he established the kings and they tore that up. And then they left God. Then they divided into two. And then they went their separate way. And they just could not get together. And after all these thousands of years, you know what it's like? You know why you need to know that? Because after you have messed up and messed up and messed up and done what you want to do and done what you want to do, God still comes and says, do you want to have a relationship?
Yes, yes.
And do you want to have peace?
Yes.
They had waited a very long time for it. Most of them had just about given up. Roman occupation.
Yes.
We're under Roman occupation right now.
Yes.
People being brutalized.
Yes.
They've been brutalized now.
Yes.
Some people have way too much and other people have absolutely nothing.
Yes. Amen.
Living just like they were during that time.
Mm-hmm.
No hope.
No hope.
And people were wondering, are we going to be all right tomorrow? And all heaven lights up. Heaven is lighting up now for you if you'll let it.
Yes. Yes.
How are we going to make it? Buy another gun? Your faith is in guns and bullets.
Yep.
Really? Your gun's going to keep you from having a heart attack?
Yes.
Your gun's going to keep you from having a stroke?
Yeah.
Your gun's going to keep your children from being ran down by a car? Your gun's going to keep you from getting cancer? Your gun's going to keep you out of hell?
Amen.
Guns don't answer any of those things.
No, it doesn't. Yes, he does. Amen.
So he told those shepherds who are out there in that field suffering.
Yes.
Middle of the winter, cold.
Yes.
No hope.
Yes.
Weren't living in palaces. Weren't kings. And the ones that were kings weren't serving God. Because Herod was not serving God.
Yes. Amen.
Pilate was not serving God.
Yes.
None of them were serving God. Caesar Augustus was not serving God. And those angels came to those shepherds, and the only thing they had were out there in those middle of those fields, those few sheep. That was the best their life. That's the best life they had. And he said unto them, well, God is with you.
Yes, amen.
Glory to God in the highest. The Lord is with you. In other words, he told them, you will be
alright. Amen.
God is concerned. Amen. God is aware of you. You know God knows you by name. That's why I like those songs by Tasha Cobb.
Yes.
He knows my name.
Yes.
And he tells them to every one of them. He says to each one of you, God has sent you a personal message straight from heaven. And it says,
peace. Yes.
God's goodwill is here.
Here, yes.
His good desires, his great desires for you is here.
Yes.
So at Christmas time, you see God's goodwill coming. His great desires towards us. You need to renew yourself in God. Everybody stand. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Praise the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. we come before in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for how you brought us in our lives. If you're in here today and you haven't given your life to Christ, then the peace that God gives you don't have. If you're here today and you have not told the Lord, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, and God has extended peace unto you, but you have not received it. You're not sure today that your name is written on high, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, if you're not sure you're saved, then even though God has extended his peace, you don't have it.
Yes.
It is one thing to extend it, it is another thing to receive it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you bless everyone here today. Lord, wash us.
Wash me, Jesus.
Cleanse us, O God. Lord, we thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, whom you gave. Lord, our Savior, our redemption, O God. Christ that would come, O God. We thank you so much. Lord, for your goodwill towards us, Lord, that we might have peace. Lord, that everlasting, O God. Lord, we thank you for the mind that we have. Everybody lift your hands if you can. Lord, we thank you for the mind that you've given us. Tell the Lord, say, Lord, I thank you for the mind you've given us. Thank you for the way that you brought me, O God. Thank you for your saving grace, O Lord. Thank you for your cleansing blood, O Lord. Lord, I thank you for your precious Son, Jesus, O God. Thank you for your saving grace, O God. Thank you for thy great peace, Lord, between me and thee, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the healing virtue of Jesus Christ. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our advocate. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our Savior and our salvation, O God. Great is our salvation, O God, that we have received from you. Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, we ask you to bless us during the season and to keep Jesus Christ on our mind.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, let us not slip, O God.
Yes.
Lord, remind us, Lord, of how you've kept us,
yes,
how you've held us. Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Always remember Jesus. Always remember Jesus. Jesus. Always remember Jesus. Always remember Jesus. Jesus. Always keep him on your mind. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a hand. Always been.